I'm sitting here with Professor Marjo Kauppinen, who is an expert on requirements engineering, and we are going to have a short talk about requirements engineering. What is requirements engineering?
Requirements engineering is about understanding why we are developing a software system or solution or software-intensive service. It's about understanding the current situation, the customer and user needs, and transferring those needs to requirements.
Is requirements engineering important?
I would like to say that it's one of the most important activities of a software engineering. So without knowing customer and user needs, it's not possible to develop a good software-intensive system.
When should we start thinking about requirements?
Typically, we think that we should do that at the beginning of the project or even before the project starts. Traditionally, we have typically focused only at the beginning of the development work. I'd like to highlight that it's a process that is going on throughout the project. It starts before the projects, and it should also continue after the projects, because we should know whether the software system really satisfies the customer and user needs we discovered throughout the project.
Requirements engineering should be viewed as an ongoing activity.
Exactly, that's right.
Is it an ongoing activity also if you do a waterfall type process as well as in an iterative incremental process?
I don't see any difference. I used to work in industry many years ago, and I suppose we could say that in that time waterfall model was the way nearly all the projects were performed. But still we were doing the development work iteratively. The main difference when we compare waterfall model to agile approach is that the sprints and increments are much shorter. To summarize, I can't see big difference how the requirements engineering should be performed when we talk about agile or the traditional way to do it.
What are the basic things you do when you do requirements engineering?
So first of all, we should start from the customer and user needs. The main activity, we call it elicitation, how to discover customer and user needs. The basic idea is to understand what is the current situation, what are the customer and user processes we are supposed to support, what is the problem, what kind of problems there are. Another way also to analyze it, what kind of opportunities there are, not just only problems. And this is something that I really like to highlight to our students, because very often we just talk about problems, but there are also opportunities, and that relates really closely to how to apply and utilize technology. So that is the first activity. Then we have an activity called analysis. So it means that we have to analyze the customer and user needs and identify the most challenging or most difficult parts of the process and the best or most promising opportunities. And then focus on those needs and identify what could be the features and functions we could develop in order to support those critical processes of customers and users. And after that, at the same time, we should think of how to model or represent those most critical requirements in the form that different stakeholders can understand them. This is something that typically the most arguable activity of requirements engineering process, because in agile methods, quite often people state that there is no need for documentation. I would argue, and based on our research, I would say that there is certainly need for modeling requirements, because without that, there is a big risk that we haven't really understand what the problem and opportunities are.
So could you give some example of what kind of representations would you create at this point?
There are more formal methods and also informal methods. For example, user stories are nowadays very popular in industry. It's a simple template telling who are the users, what kind of function they can perform with the system we are developing. The template also contains a part where we define the goal of that function. So it's a very simple template we can use to specify a function or a requirement. There are also other methods like use cases, a method that describes functions and features in more detail, but at the same time, it also provides a diagram. We call it user case diagram that describes the overview of the system that we are developing. One of the challenges with the user stories is that we can get quite easily a fragmented view what kind of system we are developing. When using diagrams that show the big picture, we can get a better understanding the whole situation. To summarize, I would recommend our students to study user stories and use cases. Also, there are other ways like scenarios that are used in, for example, in usability engineering and human-computer interaction.
Your main point here is there are a variety of approaches that have different benefits and drawbacks. But the important thing is that we somehow need to represent those requirements.
That's right. And one main point is to focus on critical requirements.
So how do we know what the critical requirements are?
That is something that relates to analysis of the requirements or the user needs or raw the process before. So the key point is to really gain understanding what is the current situation. So understand what are the customer and user needs, what are the key problems. One of the important points of requirements engineering is collaboration with customers and users. So actually involve those key stakeholders in the process and together analyze the current situation and then focus on those critical requirements. It may sound simple, but it's really challenging work.
What makes understanding what is critical difficult?
Typically, we gain deep understanding iteratively. And we have to really focus on and really think of all the time that what is that? Have we really understood the current situation and not just accepting the things we have realized so far? That typically we think that customers and users, they are able to express their needs. But one of the challenges is that there are a lot of hidden needs. And it means that we have to have different techniques to discover. It's not just informal conversations. We should use interviews, observations. And then one excellent way to discover also needs and identify the critical ones is use prototypes. And prototyping is one of the key activities of agile methods. And that's why it's really great that agile methods are so popular. So this is something that we should really understand better, how to develop prototypes in a way that we can make sure that the system we are developing will be a good one.
I think you are raising an extremely important point here, because some people want to believe that requirements engineering is something of the old world, old school, something that is not needed any longer. And what you are saying is that we learn more about the requirements as we go along and build prototypes and build the system. And that is a very good match then with iterative development. Even then, if we talk about agile development, iterative development with very short iterations. So do I understand you correctly? You say that requirements engineering is more important than ever, that we do it well because we do it now in these short iterations.
I totally agree with you. That's the way I see the things at the moment.
So let me play the devil's advocate. Then the question becomes, if you do agile or iterative requirements engineering, how do you do it cost effectively?
To do it effectively, I would say that in a systematic, flexible way, it means that we really have to understand what is requirements engineering about. It's about understanding the problem and the opportunities. And if we jump over that activity and thinking that we can solve it implicitly, there is a big risk that we are developing a system that doesn't satisfy user needs. And in the worst case, it can even be partly useless and destroy the current situation or harm, make it even more difficult to perform. The answer to your questions, I would say that it's very good that the engineers and our students have a set of practices that relate requirements engineering, and they can analyze the current situation. I mean the business situation, the size of projects, and thinking rationally what could be applied. There is certainly times and projects when we don't need that much documentation and modeling. But doing that decision based on facts and really thinking what is needed, that's the key point, that just assuming that we don't need requirements engineering or that that's a waste of time, there is a big risk that project will be a failure.
If you look at the agile methods in particular, you talk about Scrum, for example. There's no such thing as requirements engineering as a term. They talk about backlog management. How do you see the relationship between managing the backlog with groomings and prioritization and so on and requirements engineering?
When I first time heard about the term product backlog, I was really, I would say even angry when I heard about the term. Because what we have learned over the years is that not just listing requirements is not enough. And product backlog is about list of requirements. So that is really important that we have that kind of product backlog. It tells us the individual features, but it doesn't give us an overview. There is a big risk that we focus just on individual features. Product backlog can be the backbone of an agile project, but it is not enough. We should understand how those features relate to customers' and users' processes. We should have a big picture. For example, those use case diagrams gives that. But then we also should have an ongoing process to manage that product backlog. And it seems to be a really challenging task in agile projects. Product backlog is about requirements and its core of Scrum. So that's why requirements engineering is really in the heart of Scrum process. And we should combine so-called good practices to handling that product backlog.
Do I understand you correctly that you say that actually what is good with Scrum is that it has this backbone that actually requires that then the product owner or other people that get involved know how to do requirements engineering, because just managing a list is not enough.
That's right.
You need to have methods and ways of figuring out those needs.
Yeah.
And you need to model them maybe a bit more in depth than you do with just a simple list. I think the world's most used backlog management tool is Excel, in which a requirement or backlog item is a one-liner.
Yeah.
And I guess from your point of view, you are saying that a one-liner is not enough.
That's right.
As a requirement.
Yeah. I remember when we started to do research work on requirements engineering 15 years ago, most companies has Excel files that only contain the list of requirements. And after that, many companies started to improve their existing practices by applying different kind of techniques for requirements elicitation, thinking of how to model the big picture, how to link requirements to software architecture. And in a way, one way to put it in extreme way, just focusing on product backlog, it's something that was done 15 years ago. That's why it's really important that our students would also be able to apply other requirements engineering methods and practices, not just handling a list of requirements.
The last stage in requirements definition then would be validation.
One way to do it is to review the requirements. Get people together, really analyzing those requirements and thinking together, have we now good basis for the following iteration or sprint? In the past, we did a lot of perhaps even bureaucratical work, organizing reviews that a lot of people came and nobody actually spent their time effectively because only details were discussed. But about the validation, it's about understanding really what we are developing and how we will focus our work in the following sprint to make sure that the quality of the requirements is good enough.
Who should be involved in requirements engineering?
The whole development team should be involved, not just one person who is responsible for requirements. For example, if product owner is the person who defines and requirements and put them in the product backlog, that won't work. So whole development team should be involved. Also, testers are really important. Of course, some companies, most companies think that testers are part of the development team, but in many cases we have observed situations where testers are not part of the requirements engineering work. If it's possible, it would be great if customers and users are really actively involved in requirements engineering. Of course, it depends what kind of system or project we are working in. For example, if we are doing customer-specific system, it's much easier to involve customers and users very actively in requirements engineering activities. If we are developing products for thousands of users, we should also, in those cases, involve customers and users in requirements engineering activities. But then, of course, we have a bigger challenge, because how to find customers and who users who represent the different customer and user segments. Also, there should be representatives of business units, because the business perspective is really important in requirements engineering.
Requirements engineering is not something that one single person does, even though, for example, Scrum hides all the complexity of requirement engineering behind the product owner role. This just cannot work. It's a collective undertaking involving several different stakeholders, both from the organization and from the outside.
That's right. So what we learned from the past, 15 years ago, there was a tradition that only one person was nominated to be responsible for requirements. And what happened? One person tried to discover the user and customer needs. He or she developed a long list of requirements. And after that, the team had to understand the list of requirements. And in a way, I can see that at the moment, in many Agile projects, this is the case at the moment. So instead of that,
in traditional requirements engineering, at least, we also talk about requirements management, which consists of dealing with changes to the upfront developed set of requirements. Is that still an important part of requirements engineering as being part of incremental and iterative processes?
Nowadays, when things can change, or we can assume that they change really rapidly, there's a risk that we don't analyze what kind of changes we are making. So the idea is not just accepting all the changes and making all the changes without analysis. So change management is even more important today than it used to be in the past. To be able to develop good systems, services and solutions, we really have to understand what are the changes, why they appear, and then analyze what kind of effect that they have, both in the project, schedule, even more important, what kind of effect they have on the system. It can mean that if we don't have a good way to handle requirements changes, we can destroy the whole project, because there will be changes all the time and we can't get the system ready to be delivered to customers and users.
And to understand this, again, it makes sense to involve the developers, testers, and so on, because they would have the knowledge of what it means from the system's point of view.
Yeah, it's really important. So it's not just product owner who can do the decision by him or herself. It's really important to involve the whole team. I mean, testers, software architect, and developers, to really understand what kind of impact that change can have.
We have in the book some a definition of requirements engineering, and I seem to remember that you want to take some issue with that definition. And since all our students will be reading that definition, maybe you would like to point out something, how you want to view the field of requirements engineering.
We saw in the past requirements engineering as an activity or process that should aim at complete, consistent requirements. I would highlight that it's really important to identify the critical and relevant needs and make sure that we satisfy those ones. It's also important that we do the work systematically, so meaning we define, manage and test requirements systematically. It doesn't mean that we have to make perfect requirements, but we should do it in an engineering way.
You stated earlier that requirements engineering also can be viewed as an iterative process, and now you're stating that and saying, but despite that, still we should do it systematically and in a managed way.
That's right.
But we don't need to make the perfect set of requirements before the project starts.
No way.
But it's an ongoing activity that we do as we learn more as the project goes along.
Yeah.
There are very many different ways we can categorize requirements. What are some of the categorizations that you have found useful?
Typical way to categorize requirements is talk about functional requirements and non-functional requirements. So that is something that we should think of. And also students should really understand what does it mean to divide requirements to functional requirements, and now I would say quality requirements, instead of non-functional requirements. Functional requirements means those features that specify the services the system will be doing in the future. So, for example, what kind of activities users can perform with the system. And the quality requirements describe the attributes of the system. And to give an example, those is performance, reliability, safety, security, usability. Those are quality requirements, and especially quality requirements are difficult ones to discover and specify.
Yet they can be as important as the functional requirements.
Yes. In many companies, quality requirements are specified implicitly, and what it means that, for example, discover that after the system is in, users are using the system, they can't do the activities fast enough. So the system can be so slow that it makes the customers and users really frustrated. So that is an example of how we should analyze the performance of the system already during the project. So those quality requirements are typically related to the whole system, but certain functions can be more critical. For example, we should analyze the functions of the systems and think of what are the main, the key functions when we talk about performance. What are the functions that we should really carefully analyze and think how fast they should be able, users are able to perform them.
User stories, looking into agile development, would typically be mostly about functional requirements.
Yes.
So is there a risk that if you blindly do user stories, you might neglect important quality requirements?
There is a big risk.
How should we work to ensure that we get the quality requirements specified as well?
First of all, we should understand what the quality requirements are. So, for example, we should analyze the performance, reliability, and safety and security, and think of what are the most critical quality requirements that should be analyzed and specified for the system we are developing. And then there are a couple of methods that support us to specify those requirements in more depth. The main goal when we specify quality requirements is to make them testable. Dividing requirements first to functional and quality requirements. And then we have another way to categorize requirements, both in industry and also in existing literature. There's a way to specify the level of requirements. So we can have business requirements, user requirements, and technical requirements. So this is based on our research. Ian Sommerville, defines user two levels, user requirements and system requirements. I would like to highlight also the business requirements. So we have business requirements tell why we are developing the system or the product. So it tells the business objectives of the system. For example, if we want to speed up certain business or customer process, we can give an exact figure how much we should speed up or make it more, how much more efficient we want to make it. Then we have these user requirements that tells what kind of functions we have, what are the observable features of the system. So here we specify the system from user's point of view. And in this case, we really have to think of both functional and quality requirements. And then we have the internal requirements, and we call them technical requirements. If you then compare those terms to Ian Somerville's definition, so system requirements typically can mean the same thing as technical requirement. So there are different levels. Some companies have all of these three levels. Some companies may have only two levels. But main thing is to discuss whether we really have business requirements for the system. Then we should define the system from the perspective of users. And in addition to that, we can also have technical requirements. So we have types and levels of requirements.
Somerville says that requirements validation is the process of checking the requirements for validity, consistency, completeness, realism, and verifiability. How does this sound in your ears? How realistic, if you wish, do you think this list is?
There's a big risk if we focus on that the whole list, that we make the process too heavy. I think one of the competencies we should create as an engineer, software engineers, is that we can analyze what are the critical, most important requirements and focus on those ones. It's really important that the iterative requirements engineering process is also flexible and light. Because if we make the process too heavy, I can guarantee that in the end, people will give up all those practices. We have seen that happening in practice.
Traditionally, requirements engineering has been heavy upfront activities with maybe a lot of formalism involved. And then we had a backlash against that saying, well, stop that, we'll do just the one-liners. And now you are saying that, hey, requirements engineering is, it's more important than ever. We need to do more than have simple lists. We can do it in a way that makes sense, both cost-wise and with respect to what we get out. And that is what you like to talk about. But I think you have a very interesting take on the history of requirements engineering.
At that time, when I became a software engineer in the 80s, we didn't talk about requirements at all. Requirements were implicit and they were informally discussed. We'll talk about them, but we didn't do the work systematically. In the 90s, the focus was more on documentation. And that time, the goal was to make the complete, consistent requirements. And the processes we created were too heavy. And then what happened? Then about 10 years ago, Agile method, or I would say even the Agile religion started to come up because people became really frustrated about the heavy processes. And then what happened? All those good practices were thrown away. And now I can see that there's something new coming up, a new way to combine the Agile and systematic requirements engineering practices in a way that we can do good work without doing it in a bureaucratic way.
So there is a clear and bright future for requirements engineers and people who are interested in understanding what somebody needs.
Yes, I can see that in the future there will be a lot of opportunities to persons who are willing to combined different competencies, it's really important that we have engineers who are ready to understand and focus on customer and user needs, and then combine the software engineering competencies as testing and software architecture design. I can see that requirements is in the future even more important, because they can really motivate people to do the work together. It's about communication and collaboration. I still believe strongly, based on our research work, requirements are the foundation for the whole systematic product and software development work. It's closely related and integrated with testing, and as Scrum has shown, it's really closely related to project planning and management.
I think you have convinced several students that they must learn more about requirements engineering, because it's a core of what we do in software engineering. So, Mari, where can they learn more?
We have two courses. We have the software development methods, where we cover the key areas of software engineering. We will do exercises where our students can apply a set of useful methods. And then we have a special course, requirements engineering, where we really go in depth of requirements engineering. And in that course, we also link, integrate requirements engineering, the business, and then the link to software architecture design is also part of that course.
For people who are eager to learn, there are several possibilities. Thank you very much, Mario, for this insightful comments, and I'm sure you have inspired several of our students to come to your courses and learn more. Thank you.
Thank you.